As the official healthcare provider of Minnesota United, Allina Health is focused on keeping our loons in top condition. And with expertise in orthopedics, sports medicine, heart care, and more, Allina has the team to keep your family in the game too. The experts at Allina Health take the time to get to know you as a whole person, helping you achieve wellness for your mind, body, and spirit. It's an altogether better kind of healthcare. Learn more at AlinaHealth.org. And welcome back to another episode of Sound of the Loons. We are officially into the 2024 season, and I feel like this is the first time, and maybe I'm mistaken, maybe I talked to Michael Boxall during the preseason, it's all a blur, but I feel like this is the first time I've gotten to talk to you in 2024. Am I wrong on that, or am I right?
I think you're probably right, but yeah, previous years we've had one or two conversations since I've been in Minnesota,
Yeah, well, that's for sure. That's been a long time. I was actually just thinking in my head before we started how old your kids must be now, because when I first met you, I feel like you only even had one and she was a tiny baby. And now, like, every year I see them running around on the field and now there's two running around. I mean, I can't believe it's been as long as it has. Does it feel like time has flown for you?
Yeah, it has. Like, I look back at the photos from, 17, 18, and just, little Max was crawling around back then, and now she acts like she's 15, and her little brother's getting just as big and just as old as well. It's flown by. It really has.
Well, and I don't know if she's still in that phase where she's like all about, going on the field at the end in her dress, and she always had like a different dress and you couldn't take a certain dress off of her. Is she still in that same phase? I mean, cause how old is she now? Like 8? What is she at?
She's 7.5. Thankfully she's grown out of the Disney princess dress phase, because that was that dress got filthy some days where she just wouldn't take it off. But now her little brother Bo is in the Batman costume phase. So there was about a 2-week span last month where every single day he just went to daycare as Batman. It's pretty cute, but he let us wash it, thankfully.
Hey, as long as he was like saving the day on the playground and making sure everybody was safe, I don't think anybody there probably cared.
No, I don't. Yeah. And as long as everyone addressed him as Batman, it's not Bo, I think that's his biggest gripe.
So. You have to actually address him as that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, he doesn't mess around when it comes to role play. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. You got to teach him about Superman. I feel like nobody even knows who Superman is anymore. Like the younger generations where you go in the phone booth and you change outfits and you're like, you're yourself. And then you turn into the superhero. I feel like nobody even, now Batman has a little bit of that, like the modern day Batman, was it Christian Bale or who? No,
Christian
Bale
made it cool for a bit. Yeah. We need someone to do the same with Superman. I feel like it's just not as cool.
Not there. Yeah, no, the Clark Kent thing is not there yet, but I'm happy for Bo. That's good. I'll look for him at the game this Saturday. And if I see him, I'll make sure to address him as Batman.
All right.
I want to talk to you about this team because you just said it. You've been here since 2017. And all of a sudden, I mean, talk about changes, switching stadiums. You had Adrian Heath for the majority of your career, clearly here in Minnesota United. But rosters have changed, teammates have changed, coaching staff has changed. What was your thought going into this 2024 season, knowing that you still hadn't had a head coach yet, the sporting director wasn't necessarily there? What was your thought on kind of how you were approaching it?
Obviously a lot of uncertainty around the front office and stuff. Obviously with Sean McCauley was meant to be interim, and then Cam was then announced the interim. It's just a lot of uncertainty and not too sure what to expect. And even for a lot of it, Caleb was unannounced or absent for the longest time. So it was just not too sure what to expect. But I mean, at the end of the day, that none of that kind of off the field stuff kind of stops me from preparing to do my job in the offseason or showing up for preseason. and helping the team get in the right space to compete week one. And obviously through that period, Cam Knowles was he was absolutely fantastic. I think everything he did in his role for the club was massive. And I think you kind of saw that from throughout preseason and then kind of how we approached the first, what was it, three, four games that he took charge of. I think, I mean, largely most of the squad was pretty much, I mean, the starting 11 was pretty much the same as most of last year, and made a few signings here and there to round up the squad. But yeah, through the first few months, Cam did a great job. And then since Eric's come in, he's obviously been he's been fantastic as well. Just not had the time, obviously the 6 week preseason that Cam was had to introduce all his ideas. So I think week by week we're slowly adding on top of what we have.
And you said, you know, that's not going to stop you from doing what you need to do, knowing that there was some uncertainty, maybe not knowing who the head coach was going to be, even who the sporting director at the time was going to be, the chief soccer officer. But as a professional, a veteran on this team, sort of what was the conversations like? You know, what was the locker room like? What was that? How did you take on the role? You've always been a leader on this team. How did you take that on when you stepped in and just kind of showed up at preseason when you showed up for your fitness test? I know I talked to Will Trapp early on. You know, how did you take that, or was it more just about how you went about your business?
Yeah, I think it was just more about how I went about my business and just kind of just did what I had to do to perhaps lead by example. But I think when everyone came in from day one, Cam just kind of set the record straight. And obviously, if we, I mean, we can use everything as an excuse and we can flush the first 2, 3 months down the toilet if that's what we want to do, or we can continue to work hard and do all we can to reward our fans who have been so good in supporting us my whole time here and certainly this year as well. I think from the first couple of home games, there's been a different kind of energy in the stadium. I think they've sensed it's we've kind of going in a different direction and obviously a lot more on the front foot. And I think in the Columbus game, the LAFC game, and as we pushed on in the Salt Lake game, they've kind of sensed that it's we're just a bit more different, a bit more on the front foot. And I think we can, as we continue to add to that, it's going to be, yes, yeah, should be a fun season.
When you look at that and you talk about the energy in the stadium in a place where you guys didn't have the greatest of results, you know, last year, in front of your home fans. But in general, do you think you've been around a long time, you've played several places, including let's talk about, you know, the national team overseas. Do you think sometimes it's just like a good to have everybody have a refresh? You know, I mean, regardless, let's say even things were going great, and but the coach retires. Let's say you're Liverpool, you know, whatever it is, but to have a change, a refresh, a change of the way of doing things, keeping people on their toes. We can talk about the women's national team, you know, changing coaches. I mean, do you think sometimes just in life, it's and as a professional athlete, especially, it's good to have a little bit of a refresh and just a change?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's been good for me at especially at this point in my career too. I think obviously the way Cam coaches and how Kelly wants us set up and now how Eric's come in and wants us playing, I think it's quite different because we're so high up and it's a new challenge for me. And I think just having something different and just how we approach games and set up, it kind of forces me to play in a slightly different way, which is a challenge I've kind of enjoyed the last, I don't know, how many 4 or 5 games that we've played. It's been fun. Obviously we're pushing up a bit higher, so we're isolated a bit more and we're trying to be a bit more compact. So it's just challenges within the game that, as you said, if you keep doing the same things over and over year after year, it can get stale. It can get you can't get complacency creeping in. And so I think to kind of have a new voice, a new set of eyes watching over you, telling you what to do, kind of does not hurt at all.
Now, I also know that you were not opposed to gallivanting up the field, even in the prior system, pushing forward on the attack, dribbling up the field, taking a shot when necessary, not just going up on set pieces and corners. So, do you feel like this system gives you more freedom to do that or less? Because now, because the high press is on so much, if that ball turns over, you also have to be even more cognizant of where you are defensively, because you guys might find yourself on an island a little bit as the center backs.
Yeah, I think I'll be, I mean, if we play how we're meant to be playing as well as we should be, then I think that'll happen less. When you hopefully it gets out, obviously you've seen in the first couple of games why players were running at guys and looking really exciting and creating chances that way. So I think if as long as they're doing a bit more in the final third, then they shouldn't need an extra center back just thrown up there for the
Well, not thrown out. I mean, you were like always on a mission. I mean, I know you had no problem like taking that ball yourself. Like, hey, nobody else is gonna take someone on, gonna dribble, gonna break that line of pressure, you know, to kind of shake things up when you get in that final third. And sometimes it just keeps getting passed around the 18 or 25 yards out to kind of like shake it up a little bit. What is the best thing about this new system that you've seen so far? I mean, is it just being the aggressor, being on the front foot, like just putting teams under pressure? You just enjoy watching them get turned over in their defensive third of the field.
I think one thing we're good at is like when, as a result of like a I don't know, if a throw-in or a goal kick, when it's like those 50-50 balls that get bounced around and knocked around in midfield. So it's like when we're compact and then you have the little combative stages like the 50-50s and then you play. And I think once we've got players who are so good at those things and playing in tight spaces that after we relish the physical side of it, and then you're as soon as you settle the ball down, hopefully you're playing against a team that's not set up and they're 4-4-2 low block or whatever, you know. So once you're playing out of a playing out of an opposition shape that's slightly out of structure, it gives you more chances and obviously just different looks that that are potentially easier to break down than a team that's set up in their, I don't know, two banks of four as you're kind of played out and you play sideways in front of them, I don't know, 10, 15 passes, and it's a lot tougher to break down that way. So I think if we're on the front foot and stay compact, then I mean, kind of how we've created our chances against, who was it? Kind of against Austin. Even Columbus too, we had a few chances like that. And I think as we get more and more on the same page and kind of take on what Eric has brought to us, then I think we should be, yeah, a lot convert a lot more chances in that final third.
Well, and you talk about the final chances or the chances, excuse me, in the final third. When you look at each result and the way you've gotten them, and even, you know, we can talk about the Philadelphia game, which is a tough place to play and on the road and guys, international duty and whatnot coming back from that. But when you look at how you've gotten the results, did you expect to be at this point now, 11 points from the first six games, higher up in the Western Conference with all the changes and the sort of uncertainty? You guys know what to expect from yourselves as players, but until, you know, the staff gets in there and whatnot, and you really kind of grab hold of it, did you expect to be at this point, at this time in the season?
I don't know. I'm a little bit delusional when it comes to like my team and our results. I'm like every time I've stepped onto the field, I've expected us to win. But then I'm pretty realistic in that. Obviously, I think we're okay with our position. But I mean, obviously, we've scored some very, very late goals, so we could very easily have, I don't know, 3, 4 points less. So we need it's. I mean, it's promising that we're at right now, and we still need to find ways to keep getting better. So obviously the work rate is there. You're seeing the energy and the dynamic players that come off the bench late in games that we're keep pushing those last 20, 30 minutes. And that's obviously Tanny's been massive in that, and obviously everyone that comes off the bench just to keep pushing that energy that we're trying to do for 90 minutes, which is it's not easy to do. But it's something we're getting on the same page about.
You just talked about Tanny and what he's brought in these late game kind of heroics and just being in the right spot at the right time and also just finishing his chances. But what about some of the young guys that have had their opportunities? Or Luik, I'm gonna know I'm gonna talk to him next. You know, he played a couple games early on for you guys, and I think he's been mostly with the two since then. But Brand coming in, you know, new player, like just Caden Clark, how he's fitting in. What does that say sort of about the group as you guys, like allowing them to feel comfortable and adapt to the situation, but also them just having the confidence to take their chances?
I mean, I think that comes from the coaching staff. I think from Cam and then Eric coming in, it's not going to be a 11, 12, 13 man game. We've been told that we want to keep pushing the envelope for the full 90 minutes. So a lot of the players are only kind of play 60 minutes, so treat it like that. And so the when you see these guys coming on, and obviously they're expected to bring the energy, and they have and all the goals and chances that they've been creating and scoring in those last few minutes are obviously a large part of that is due to how we play the previous 60, 70 to tie it down teams and kind of beat them up. And then these young guys with a lot of juice running at tired guys, and you kind of see a lot of our goals being scored late on. And obviously we'd like to be bringing them on when we have a little 2-3 goal cushion, and but we're still working towards that.
Well, and another new center back partnership for you, just as of right now, at least as of the last two games. Who knows how long? I don't know how long Tapias is out, but Devin Podolford, you talk about a young guy. It feels like he's been around forever, even though he hasn't. What has that been like for you? And I know I feel like we talk about this every year, how you get all these different center back pairings and you're the constant. What has that been like? And how you sort of mentored him in that left center back role as opposed to the left back, which he just got his first start not that long ago in that position. How have you sort of mentored and worked that partnership the last couple of matches?
Honestly, I haven't had to do a whole lot. I think he's kind of stepped in and he's done well. I think you look at him in those games and there's nothing about any huge chances or definitely goals that we've conceded that you'd be like, can point the finger at him. I think he's been good. He's always been like a good 1v1 defender. He's and any kind of positional mistake that he very rarely might make, he makes it up with. Like he's got such good athleticism. He can recover so well. And obviously that goes for my mistakes too, that he's there to mop those up. So honestly, I love this kid. He's awesome, and he's done really well. Obviously his first start at left back against LAFC and against, obviously they have some pretty decent players, and he shut them down. Obviously, I think DJ had a great game against LAFC too. Devin's awesome. He's done really well. Done really well.
And then the midfield in front of you in this 4-3-3, if it continues on in that vein, I know Amanda Reynoso, to my knowledge, is still out. But when you look at Hassani and you look at Robin, depending on where he's playing right underneath Pukki, maybe centrally, maybe he's on the right. Sang Bin has been, I think, in my opinion, been really good this year. I feel like he looks really confident and a little bit more comfortable. Bongi was on the left last match to start the game, but you also have Fragopane out there, Caden Clark. When you look at the midfield in particular, right in front of you with Hassani and Will, and if it's Robin centrally, what do they need to do to make your lives easier in the 4-3-3 in the way that you guys want to play?
I mean, I think because at the moment we're playing with two holding midfielders, I think you have the excuse me, like a two good players who work so hard screening you. So I think that just helps. But as long as we're compact and you're always going to have those two in front of you, I think that's the biggest part in how we're setting up. I think defensively we're obviously always things we can keep improving on, but I think with the ball we just need to move up the field just a bit quicker, breaking lines, and so that when we get the ball to Robin and in between there, hopefully their back four and their defensive midfield line, that he can play. Obviously, you've said Sungbin started the season well, and we want him running a play. He's so quick. Just running a play as 1v1, and then so they can give Timu some good opportunities, because he's one of the best, first time finishers I've probably seen. When he gets chances, it's he puts them away. But just giving him just a few good quality chances each game is going to be massive.
What do you see from Sangbin on the right? I mean, I know you saw him in training last year, but this year, what have you seen from him that's maybe a little different? Is he just more comfortable? What are your thoughts from your position?
Yeah, obviously it always takes time to settle in, and I think he's must be a bit more comfortable. And I think to start the season, we seem to be getting him the ball a bit more in positions that he can make a difference. So obviously he's great running at players with space, and I think if we can get the ball to him, break lines quickly from, I don't know whether it's a goal kick from myself, to just get him the ball so he's running at their fullback rather than coming back to us, back to goal, or running it at multiple players, I think that's going to be key for us getting the most out of him.
Houston, I don't know how much you've had an opportunity to watch to see what they're doing. Second year under Ben Olsen. I know you guys with your schedules, it's tough to like really like hunker down and watch every single game on the weekend and even tape heading into the next one when you're focused a lot on yourselves, of course. What do you see for this Houston side? They don't really have like a true number nine consistently that they're playing, which would be the player that, you know, would occupy you the most. What do you find most dangerous about them? And they still don't have Hector Herrera, to my knowledge.
Obviously they brought in Yan, a familiar face. But honestly, yeah, you've it's too
He
early
just
in the
keeps
week.
hanging around, doesn't he? He just doesn't want to. I
Yes.
mean, Jan, he just is like, he's like that guy that every team, like, they don't necessarily keep him, but then if somebody else always wants him because he just brings like a value to the team.
He does a job and he does it well and he works hard. He's a good professional. But in terms of the Houston team, it's far too early in the week for me to we haven't even touched on them yet. So I can't tell you anything.
No worries, because I totally get. I mean, honestly, like, I feel like I don't know how you guys do it, but even in our boat, it's like you're trying to absorb everything. And like, sometimes I'm sure you're the same way when you get home after a game or after a weekend or after you've traveled or whatever, you just like need to take a minute where you like take a breather from soccer, you know, like do something else in life. And then at some point, you clearly go back to training right away, but like, you know, where you hunker back down in and you're like, okay, now it's time to focus on the next weekend. When you look at your team in general against this Western Conference, what intrigues you the most about the way this year has gone? Anybody like shocking you? I mean, you've got LA Galaxy, who's sort of doing something right. You just played Real Salt Lake. Anybody in the Western Conference? Seattle finally got a win. Of course, they explode for some goals. What surprises you maybe about this Western Conference?
I think nothing really. It's just every year it's so similar. It's like it's just a traffic jam and from at the moment it's from the top to I don't know, eighth or ninth. It's just you win two games in a row and you jump up from eighth to second, or you drop points in 2, 3 weeks and you go from first to 10th. It's every year it's kind of seemed like that. And usually it kind of ends up that way later in the season, but it seems to be like that right from the get-go. So yeah, I think we need to take more advantage of our home games. And as you said, as we're preparing for Houston, we haven't looked at them yet. We spend the first few days of the week kind of reviewing the last game against Salt Lake. And yeah, I think especially at home games, it's a little bit less about how you set up to stop Houston. I think we just need to keep getting better with the things that we do, especially at home.
And this will be my last question because it just made me think of something. I listened to the post game interviews. I think it was Robin, Eric Ramsey, and Tanny were interviewed post game that was posted. And it was interesting because a lot of the questions were about getting the point at home with the late goal. And Robin was very much like, no, that's not good enough. Like, I mean, that is just the standard, is like you should be getting 3 points at home. Like, the 1 point at home is not acceptable. Should have capitalized on chances early. You shouldn't have to be relying on this late game heroics at home. Is that sort of the feeling, the expectation, the standard with this group?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it's when you have the atmosphere in the stadium, it's like when that goal goes in, it's a bit of a relief. But I mean, yeah, we can't be scoring one goal at home that late and be happy with that. I think, I mean, especially when we look back at last year, I think we might have won. We were awful at home. I think we won two or three home games. And that's just not good enough for us in this league. And to only do that and still have a fighting chance to get into playoffs in the last 2, 3 weeks. I think, what do we have more points on the road last year than at home, which is absurd. That's a game we should be winning. I think we started too slowly against Salt Lake, and I think we defended okay. We didn't have too much for didn't ask too much of Dane. I don't think they had too many chances, but I think we need to be better. Yeah, we just need to do better jobs and making sure that 3 points is the standard that we set for ourselves at home.
I'm gonna have to ask Dane though. I feel like he might have a different answer. I feel like Dane always feels like he's asked a lot of.
I mean, I'm trying to
I'm just kidding. I
do
just know talking to Dane, it's like it's all, you know, it's always something when you talk to Dane.
me.
Like he's
I mean, he probably says he has to extend himself a bit, but I think because we know what he can do, it's like if he makes a great save, it's like we kind of expect that from him. Or if it's like a kind of long distance shot where he's, I don't know, sometimes he throws himself at the ball for the cameras, you know, like how goalkeepers are.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
he's not alone in that with goalkeepers. I mean, I know there was a couple times early in the season. One time, what game was it? It might have been the Columbus game. I don't remember. He came off his line like way out of, and I'm like, dude, what? Like, you didn't, like, there was, you were running back to the, like, I'm like,
oh, no, that was the LAFC game.
You remember that?
LAFC. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you give him a look after that?
I spoke to him about it. Yeah. There was, I mean, sometimes he just wants to be involved. You know, they don't touch the ball a whole lot sometimes. So he just wants to include himself in the game. But no, he's had a decent start to the season as well. So he's, yeah, a big voice behind us in the back line.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time, and I'll see you on Saturday, and I look forward to another great game at home, and hopefully you'll get to give the fans the Wonder Wall, and I'll get to see your kids out there. Max and Batman. Cool. Max and Batman on the field. Thanks, Boxy. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All good. Good to see you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned. Another segment of Sound of the Loons presented by Alina Health coming up next. Warmer weather means green grass and plenty of soccer. Starting in May, Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps throughout the spring and the summer months. Come enjoy the game, demonstrate your skills, and take your game to the next level with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the camps and combines page on MNUFC.com for more information. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Segment number two of Sound of the Loons presented by Alina Health. And I am now joined by Loic Masanvi. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I kind of prefaced it before we started. I was like, look, we're just going to talk about you, your career, your life. I mean, it sounds simple, but it's not always that way because you've had quite the journey. But I want to first and foremost say, congratulations on the start of this 2024 season. I saw when you signed those, you know, two short-term contracts and then you stepped on the pitch, made like an immediate impact when you got out there. I think that's like one of the best, awesomest things to see. How did that moment feel for you? What was that like for you to step on and make an impact right away at the beginning of the season?
It felt great. Definitely was nervous going into it. I remember talking to the guys about him, like, I don't know how I'm feeling, man. Like, I'm really nervous. Like, I don't want to make any mistakes. Like, this is big. This is MLS, you know. But, you know, just the coaches just kept telling me, just go out there and be yourself. So that's what I tried to do. And, yeah, I did that.
Now, when you look at that moment, I mean, because I remember watching and I'm thinking, he looks confident. He's taking guys on, not afraid to make mistakes, which I think is a huge piece of it, right? I mean, having coaches and a staff, and I'm sure a lot of that came from Cameron Knowles, who you are very familiar with. To just have that confidence to go out there and be you. Did you feel that way the entire preseason? Because you were with the first team the whole preseason. What was that like for you?
It was good. It was a great feeling because the year before that, I struggled a little bit in preseason. And I just made sure I did the work in the offseason so I could be fit and ready for this year's preseason. So, yeah. And Cam also just kept telling me, yeah, be yourself. Just go out there and do what you do best. And yeah, that's what I did.
What is that like? Take us inside like the sort of mental, emotional aspect. I mean, being a professional athlete or an athlete at a high level, which you've always been, can be a little bit of a challenge. And if you've never done it, you don't really know what that emotional roller coaster is like. But take us inside the feeling of, you know, going 19s, MNUFC 2, going to preseason with the first team, getting called in. Now you're back with the twos. How do you navigate sort of that mentally, emotionally on a day-to-day basis and just in those moments? What's your secret to navigate that?
I mean, I talked to Cam last year, like the end of the last year, we had a little meeting and he told me he really liked my personality. So I think just keep being me is really what keeps me going. And just get out there and, like, it doesn't matter if it's first team, second team, just keep playing, like just keep being you, you know. So that's what I always try to do.
When you go out to training every day, or when you go out and you play a game with MNUFC2, is there like this feeling ever in your mind, or how do you keep from getting too inside your head? You know, as an athlete, like, okay, if I don't have a great game, I'm not going to get an opportunity with the first team again. How do you just keep within your own mind, forget about any mistakes, not too high, not too low? Do you have another, besides Cam, in your lifetime, another mentor, another way of that you've gone about that in your journey, sort of learning those things?
Definitely my family. Like most importantly, my dad and my mom. They always just try to keep me going. They say, like it doesn't matter what happened in the past. It's just more about the future and focus on the present. Like whatever you do now will result to the next thing. So I always try to listen to them, get advice from them, and my friend Jesse also just keeps me going every day in the locker room. So yeah, it's great.
When you look at you in particular as a player, what's your strength? When you look at you, you're like, Loic Massanvi, if I saw a little blurb in the media guide, it would say this, or like the strengths of what he brings to this team, what would that be?
Definitely my speed. It's one thing I rely on a lot. So like I'm not the type of player to come to the ball and try to like dribble or not. Just play me in space and I'll go get it. Like try to get shots off or just like get a cross in or something.
What has that been like for you though, then at every different level? Because I feel like there's a lot of like really fast kids when you're playing youth levels. You played, if correct me if I'm wrong, you played in an academy in Ghana, then you moved over here. You've been in, you know, you played for Minneapolis City, you've been with the 19s from Minnesota. And now, then when you get to the first team and you stepped on that pitch, did it feel like, has every step along the way being like, oh crap, this guy's real fast too? Like, you know, I mean,
Definitely.
what was that like when you used to just knocking the ball by somebody and running onto it?
It's crazy because like stepping on the field in Austin, like the crowd and everything is like, well, right now I'm like nervous. I don't know what to do. But then you start playing and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can hang in there a little bit. But then the guy that I was going against was actually cramping like most of the game. So when I got in, Ken just told me to just keep going at him, keep going at him, because like the speed is obviously what like is one of my best strengths. So just keep going at him, man. Yeah, I try to do that.
What's the part of your game you think that you've developed the most in your time with Minnesota United, even if it was at the younger levels when you were at the Academy or the 19s or Minnesota United too? Like, what do you think you've developed the most that maybe someone has kind of like honed in on and said, hey, if you work on this, this is going to bring you to that next level. This is going to get you in the first team consistently. Is there any one thing in particular?
Definitely playing more defensively because I tend to just, you know, stay up and playing with the first team at home. I struggle a little bit coming back, like dropping back and helping Rosales on the left side. So it's something I'm still working on. So yeah, for
Who's
sure. I'll
letting you
say that.
know? Who's letting you know that out on the field?
Dame. Dame. Yeah, he's yelling that he's making sure I know I get back to help Rosales. So
Reminding you, right, that you
yeah.
got to get back and watch that guy, whether it's like on the back post or whatever. Talk to me about your journey. I mean, we're gonna go backwards here, but I want to know about you as a person and your life and growing up and coming over here to the United States. Talk to me about when soccer first came into your life and how that came about.
So this actually started when I was four. One of my dad's friend gave me a Germany jersey, and since then I was like, oh, like I really want to get into this. And yeah, I just went to the beach with my dad every single day and just kicked the ball around and stuff. And it was actually in 2017. Oh, actually, 2015 when I tried out for this academy team in Ghana, West African Football Academy. I played there for a year and a half, and my dad won the lottery visa, and he just moved all of us to America. So yeah, it's just go from there. Yeah.
What is that like? I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless there's someone else that's been in your position that knows what that means to win a lottery visa and to move your whole family, what is that moment like? What was your dad like? What was your family like? What is that like? What is that feeling like?
It was crazy because you're not just moving from another country to like, we're moving from Africa to America. So it was big. Like you're leaving your family behind, your friends, like everything. And it was kind of emotional for my dad because he's been playing this game, this lottery thing for a while now. And that year that he won it was just, it was big. It was really big for him. So
How many siblings do you have, if any?
yeah. I have two, a brother and a sister.
Do they play? Are they older? Are they younger? Like, are they
Yeah.
over here too, or what?
My brother's 10 and my sister's three.
Oh, okay. So way younger. So okay. So they
Yeah.
didn't even they were they even around when you experienced that when you moved? Was your 10-year-old brother? Or how
My
long have
10-year-old brother, yeah, he was
they been?
around, but my sister was born here.
Okay. So
Yeah.
when your dad comes home and says, I won the lottery visa, we're moving, was it like this? And for your mom too, was it like this like elated feeling? Was it a nervousness? Was it a like, what are we doing? Or is it like we have to do this? Or, you know, when you're leaving your friend, like you said, everything you know, you're leaving it behind. But was it always the plan?
So I was actually at the academy in Ghana when it all happened.
So
So
you
I
didn't
didn't,
witness it itself.
yeah, so I didn't know anything about it until I got back on one of her breaks and he broke the news to me. He was like, "Look, I have something to tell you. I finally won the lottery visa." And I was like, I just started crying because he's been playing this for years and knowing that we have the opportunity now to go out there and make something happen. Yeah, it was definitely big, but also a little nerve-wracking because you don't know what to expect. You're going to like you're going somewhere you like you know nothing about, you know?
How
So
did you
yeah,
end up in Minnesota?
my dad's friend lives here, so we
Okay.
moved in with him for a couple months and then until my dad got set and then we moved out.
What was that transition like for you once you moved here? And how did you, a lot of people in Khaled, the chief soccer officer, had talked about this in his podcast that when he moved around and he fled a war-torn country and soccer was like his connecting piece, right? You can go in somewhere, just about anywhere, and somebody's playing soccer, somebody's kicking a ball at recess, somebody's, that's how you can like find your way oftentimes. What was your experience like when you came, and how did you kind of find that connecting piece? And was it difficult or was it easy?
Actually it was kind of hard because like right when we got here, obviously I had the mentality of like I want to keep playing, but at the time we had no connection, we knew nobody until it was actually in middle school. We had this homeroom thing going on. So like we go outside and just kick the ball around. And some kids were playing around and I was like, yo, like, can I join you guys and play? They're like, nah, because I was new and my English was a little rough at the time and they didn't want me on the team and I grabbed my own ball and I started juggling and look over, they're like, oh, this kid is actually
Oh no,
good.
I
Yeah.
want him on my
So they invited me to play with them and stuff. And this teacher saw me, Mrs. Schultz, that's her name. She was my math teacher. And she said, oh, you're really good. I know a couple people that like run the Lakeville soccer stuff. And she made the call and she called Jessica Hillis. She's been around me ever since I got to the country and she actually helped me join the Lakeville Soccer Club and yeah, I've just been playing with them in Minneapolis City the following year and then United.
So, do you still communicate with Mrs. Schultz? Do you ever talk to her? Is like, do you have a connection with her where you're like, do you know that you just making that one connection, seeing me, like, you hear those stories of like people remember their so-and-so
Yeah.
teacher that like, do you still have a connection with her? Has she been to one of your games, even with the twos, and seen what you've become?
She hasn't been to a game, but my dad, she's really close with my dad, so they talk a lot. Yeah.
Awesome. So when you now are at the point you're at and you step on the field, because you have been at Allianz Field and you've been on the pitch and you played at a US Open Cup game not that long ago there. I know that it wasn't like, the 20,000 people. It's kind of like a random Wednesday, I think it was, or whatever day of the week it was.
Yeah.
But when you can imagine it and experience when people come to your games and they're here, and maybe those kids at first didn't want you on their team and then they did. Are you still friends with any of them? Do what's that like to play in front of your family, in front of your friends? What's that like? Or when your family even found out that you were going to be playing like in Austin on the season opener and you got pulled up?
It was an incredible feeling because, I mean, my parents have been wanting to come to my game. They're excited to come to my game this season and watch me play with the twosies, not the first team. So getting called up the first time, they're like, yeah, like this is awesome. They were watching the game in Austin, but then they didn't know I was gonna be on the roster again at home. So when I told them that, they're like, oh yeah, we're definitely coming. And playing in front of them, my friends were at the game too. It was crazy. It really was.
Do you lean on anybody else that's sort of been? I mean, Devin Pudelford is like very similar in that scenario, right? Where like you've worked your butt off to get to this point, and then all of a sudden you get this opportunity and you're in front of your family and your friends in your home stadium. I mean, what do you lean on anybody else for advice or somebody else who's been there, done that, or are you just kind of going with the flow?
I don't really have anybody that I lean on. I just kind of like try to get advice from everyone in the group. But the one person that will be honest with you would be Dan, I would say. He keeps it 100 with you. Whether you're doing good or bad, he'll tell you. So yeah, I would say him probably, yeah.
When you look at the twos, and we've talked so much about Minnesota United and sort of the uncertainty going into the season, and you know the new chief soccer officer waiting for a head coach, you know what kind of system Cameron Knowles, is he going to be the twos, is he going to be on the first team staff? You guys have been just as in the mix of the turmoil, right? Because all of your staff was taken to be basically first team staff. Maybe not the best start for you guys results wise because of a lot of that, I'm sure. And some of you guys getting pulled up and down and maneuvering of the roster and whatnot. What has that experience been like for you? How are you helping to sort of navigate that storm? Do you consider yourself a veteran or a leader on this twos team to kind of help weather that storm and just go out and perform?
Yeah, actually, that's funny because we had a meeting yesterday with the coaching staff, and we're talking about how we, like the vets in a way, are trying to move this thing forward. And it's kind of hard for me because, like, last year we had players like Diogo, CeCe, like the older guys. We young players looked up to them. And now it's just crazy that we have to kind of lead the group going forward because we have, like, so many academy players on the team. So it's just, yeah, trying to always lead the group like as much as we can, and just make sure like we all show up and put in the work every single day.
What I know when I was talking to Justin Ferguson, gosh, maybe it was just a week ago. It feels like it was an eternity ago. I can't remember now. Maybe it's 2 weeks ago. You know, and he was just saying sometimes it's challenging too as a player because you're already trying to put your best foot forward every single match, right? You're already, or not match, excuse me, training session. And then now you don't even know maybe on a daily basis who's picking the 11, right? Or the 18 or the 20. So when you guys go into training every day, how much is their emphasis? And even just talking to Michael Boxall, because the first team was under the same scenario when they started their season, is I'm not going to let it affect me on what I do on the field. Like at the end of the day, we can either go out and go, we're going to let this kind of, you know, affect our season and have a crappy start and, you know, just make that as an excuse, or we can like all go up, you know, and show up and perform and get together as a team and get this thing on the right foot. Do you feel like this group has that sort of mentality because you are missing some of those veterans, or just other people have to step up? Has somebody filled those voids? Because that's not an easy task.
Oh yeah. I feel like going forward, we won't always have the older guys. So at some point, we as young players have to step up and take that role at some point. So just going out there and trying to be the best leaders we can be. Like you said, Boxy said, like just go out there and just work your butt off, because I mean, no one's gonna do it for you. You're here for a reason. So yeah. Cause those academy players, they see you working hard, they're gonna get motivated to do the same thing, you know. So yeah, trying to do that every single day.
And back to your life story. Did I read this correctly that you became a naturalized US citizen in 2023? Is that correct? What was
Yep.
that like? What was that moment
That
like for you?
was great, because coming here, I heard like you'd have to stay in the country for 5 years. and then you have this test you have to take. So it was definitely a little nerve-wracking because you have like these 100 questions you have to study for, and they only ask you 10. So it really could be any question. So we had to know all 100 of them. So it was a great feeling getting that.
And then lastly, just your goals, your aspirations. Like, do you sit down and write them for 2024 or maybe beyond? Like, what's your dream scenario for you?
Definitely to be more part of the first team, hopefully that's the goal. And it started off good. You just gotta keep going and be the best I can for the twosies too. And then that would hopefully lead up to that.
Anything in particular, like when you're like, you said you got that Germany jersey when you were four, and you're like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a professional soccer player. I want to play soccer. This has started your love. When you look out farther than that, is there anything like this is, or is it right now just what's in front of you? Like where you're like, this is my aspiration even beyond that.
A long-term goal is definitely to play in Europe, but it's just that's like a long-term goal. I'm just trying to focus on the now, and see what I can accomplish this season, and then that it will lead up to that eventually.
Anybody that you sort of like see their game and you're like, I like how he plays. I want to be like him. I want to emulate my game after him or certain aspects of anybody in the world that you're like, I feel like I can maybe mimic some of what that person does.
I watch players like Neymar, Vinicius, and players like that. Even though Neymar gets hurt a lot, but
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
I like his game, So definitely him, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time. I look forward to seeing you in person and hopefully back up with the first team or with the twos, because I know that, this thing, I think you guys are going to get it together. I know you've had some great seasons in the past, the two, so I'm excited to see you guys play with them as well. So thanks for taking the time. I appreciate
Course.
it. And
Thanks for
look
having
to
me.
see you back on the field. You're pretty dynamic. I remember watching the replay of the Austin game, like before the Columbus game, and thinking, oh man, who's this kid? He's gonna be good. He's gonna be fun to watch. So thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Course, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, that's another episode of Sound the Loon. Stay tuned and we'll talk to you next week.